They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
BP wants to force Halliburton to pay for the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy New Year. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The British oil giant BP has filed court papers demanding Halliburton pay billions of dollars in cleanup costs for the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster from 2010. And BP has long insisted it's not solely at fault for the worst oil spill in U.S. history. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
This is the latest in BP's attempts to spread around the blame and the bills for the Gulf of Mexico spill. In the lawsuit, it holds Halliburton responsible for the failure of a cement lid placed over the blown-out deepwater oil well, and thus the entire cleanup for the incident. That's estimated to cost more than $40 billion. Last week, Halliburton said BP hid information that could have helped prevent the disaster. Energy analyst Sarah Emerson says it's no surprise BP and Halliburton's legal teams are playing hardball.
I think it's what you have to do. It's due diligence to be sure that you're not paying more than your share.
But she says offshore drilling takes major partnerships, and legal battles won't ruin any chances for the companies to work together on current or future drilling.
They might be, you know, terribly antagonistic in court and then go out to dinner. I suspect there are other parts of both companies that are working together on a new project.
Last month, BP did successfully squeeze a settlement from another contractor involved in the spill. The company that made the failed blowout preventer paid BP $250 million. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The Dow is up nearly 2%, 236 points, 12,454. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 each up about 2% as well. We found out today manufacturing activity in December expanded at its fastest clip in at least 6 months. And in another report out today, builders said they spent more on construction projects in November. Today, all the months of shaking hands and kissing babies and buying television ads in Iowa plays out before the rest of the country. Voters in the Hawkeye State are caucusing with their neighbors, picking their favorite candidates, and the process means a lot to the Iowa economy. Donna Hoffman heads up the Political Science Department at the University of Northern Iowa. She's with us now. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
These caucuses are big business in Iowa.
They are. It's, you know, pretty exciting to be in the state. We get, of course, candidates that come in. They spend money. We get the national media, the international media that come in. They spend money. We also get, I don't know, you might call them political tourists or people who come in from other states to help their candidates, to walk neighborhoods, to man phone banks. And all of those people spend money in the state. The biggest thing, though, that you see is, of course, the ad revenue probably that television stations get because the airwaves are inundated with ads right now.
I know these caucus meetings, Donna, are like some kind of, I don't know, potluck dinner or a book club, right? I mean, give us the financials. I mean, how much does it cost for someone to put something like this on?
Well, these are party events, and so the parties bear the cost of this. But, you know, caucuses are a throwback to really old-school politics where you meet with your neighbors and you caucus. You talk with them. You talk about the candidates. You decide what kind of, you know, who you want to elect to the next level of convention for delegates. These are really very local affairs because they're precinct meetings, and precincts are the smallest level of political organization.
Donna Hoffman from the University of Northern Iowa. Donna, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
The people who put their money in riskier bonds are hoping 2012 is a better year for their returns. Bank of America Merrill Lynch says it's the first time in 3 years lower-graded bonds didn't do as well as safer investments. Bonds, of course, take many forms. Countries sell them, and companies, too, if they can. Marketplace Whiteboard Chief Patty Hirsch takes us on a little field trip to explain how risky bonds are.
This is a used auto parts center.
Used part? No, Patty, this is a junkyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See that rusted old jalopy over there? That is junk.
It's all in the eye of the beholder, Steve. You see junk, I see a valuable store of parts for my 2001 Saturn LS1.
Really? You take parts from some wreck that's been towed here and put those parts in your car? Don't you think that's a bit risky, Patty?
Well, I'd be getting them at a discount to what I pay on eBay, and they'd be way cheaper than if I got them from a GM dealer. That is for sure.
Okay, fair enough. It's your funeral, but what has this got to do with bonds?
Well, bonds are just like car parts.
They are?
Well, sure. If you buy parts that are brand spanking new from the manufacturer, still all greased up and ready to go, they're pretty low risk, right?
Right.
You'd be happy to put them in your car.
Sure.
Well, bonds are the same. Some bonds are super safe. They're sold by companies that are profitable, that look very likely to make their interest payments, and pay their lenders their money back.
I'd be happy to put those bonds in my portfolio.
Right. So, but some bonds are not so safe, right? They're sold by riskier companies, like companies that may have borrowed a lot of money or maybe operate in uncertain industries. Companies like these may not be able to make their debt payments. They may not even be able to pay you back. Those bonds are like the car parts you buy from a place like this.
A lot riskier.
Sure, but potentially a lot more profitable in the long run. See, those low-risk bonds that you like so much, they also come with a low reward. Ratings agencies call them investment-grade bonds, and the interest rates they pay are pretty small.
All right, low risk, low reward. That makes sense.
All right, but these high-risk bonds, right, they come with much bigger interest rates to compensate for the danger. Rating agencies call them non-investment-grade or high-yield bonds.
And some people call them junk bonds.
Yeah, some people call them junk bonds, because I guess like a secondhand car part in a car, they can turn out to be junk, and you can end up wasting your money. But if the bond turns out to be a good investment, then because of that high yield, you can make a ton of money. In the same way, if I can find a working transmission for my Saturn for $20 here, as opposed to paying $700 for a new tranny at the GM dealership, then I make out like a bandit.
So high-yield bonds are riskier. They can turn out to be trash, right?
Right, but they're hold high yield for a reason, because they can turn out to be treasure. One man's junkyard is another man's jewel box, Steve. Yeah,
thanks for that, Patty.
Marketplace's Patty Hirsch. And finally, a North Carolina man was arrested at Walmart last week after trying to buy a vacuum cleaner and microwave oven with $1 million bill. The problem, besides the issue of getting change, more than $999,000 in cash from the drawer, the U.S. Treasury has never produced $1 million bill. But just because a bill doesn't exist doesn't mean people stop trying to pass it along. In 2004, a woman at a Walmart in Georgia tried to use $1 million bill. In 2001, a Dairy Queen cashier accepted a $200 bill from a customer ordering a sundae. The bill had a picture of George W. Bush on it, the sitting president at the time. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They spend millions on their campaigns, but believe it or not, GOP presidential hopefuls are getting a real bargain this time around.
We'll have these outside groups promoting specific candidates, and that really becomes an extension of the candidate's campaign.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Why campaigns are flush with cash for now. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.